Sometimes you have to go to extremes to get people's attention. For Graham Cohen, this was accomplished through a chartered jet.
Sometimes you need to take people out of their typical routines and comfort zones and put them in a situation where they can start fresh. So we did either the smartest thing we could have done or dumbest thing we could have done, but we decided to charter an airplane and try to fly 100 entrepreneurs from New York to South Beach, right? So our biggest thing was do whatever we need to do to get people on that airplane, and once they're on it, they'll be locked for life. We just had to get people on that airplane.
Also in this week's episode, we discussed the importance of learning by doing, taking initiative, and how to properly break out from the mold. And now, episode 3 of Culturation.
Good evening, my fellow citizens.
Are you ready? The main event of the evening.
The ideas.
It's the word that you put in.
The ability.
Can you dig it?
The talent.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
Those who influence, the entertainer, the business leader, and the entrepreneur, they're all right here on Culturation. And now, your host, Justin Epstein.
Welcome to Culturation. I'm your host, Justin Epstein. On this week's episode, we have Mr. Breakout himself, Graham Cohen. Graham is an entrepreneur in digital media, publishing, conferences, business strategy, and sales development. Graham is currently the co-founder of Breakout, a community of rule breakers, thought leaders, and movement sparkers united in turning talk into action. Through unique contact at impact events, Breakout works to foster inclusivity, inspire collaboration, and empower the spirit of hustle in cities across the U.S. With that being said, I would like to welcome my friend Graham Cohen to the show. Graham, great to have you in studio.
Hey, yo, Justin, great to be here.
Always good to see you, man. So, you know, for those that may not be familiar with you or familiar with Breakout and kind of your story, can you tell them a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Well, first off, do you notice I'm wearing a Jewish basketball t-shirt?
I like it.
I think this is my longest standing t-shirt I own. Okay. And I think this is very important about me because I just got married recently.
Congrats, mazel tov.
Thank you. And one of my biggest fears getting married was that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman, and she might not have any idea how good of an intramural athlete I was.
I mean, that's important. On the resume, did you ever put that kind of in your qualifications?
I should have. 100. So that was actually the question I was going to ask you, because you were quite a soccer player yourself. When you were married, did you have to set the table and be like, look, I might not be the same type of athlete anymore, but I want you to know and I want you to tell our kids that at some point I was quite the athlete?
To some extent, yeah. I still break out articles from like age 6 to about 15 that show my highlights in the newspapers, you know, and that's kind of what I let lead. When I do come out of retirement and play, you know, let's say when we played
breakout soccer. Yeah.
You know, I get maybe 5 minutes of energy. You know, I really give my all, and then I'm kind of retired after that, and I hang the jersey up again.
So you give her glimpses, right?
You have to, little glimpses. I don't want to overpromise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so other than me asking marital questions, so your point was to give a little background.
Yeah, so for people listening, not familiar with you, a little background on yourself.
So right now I live in New York City, originally from Bethesda, Maryland, outside of D.C., started Breakout about 3.5 years ago. We are best known for doing these national events all over the country, a little bit like TED meets the streets, bringing inspiring people to inspiring cities. Right now, I live in New York City, but a couple people in my life are really pushing me towards Atlanta. So I find myself back and forth here much more.
Nice. I think Atlanta is the play. I don't want to be biased here because I'm living here, I'm based here, but it is an amazing city. I think you should make the move.
Yeah. She said.
So I just kind of want to start from the beginning, you know, kind of today, go through kind of your history. You know, you're one of the younger entrepreneurs on the show. So kind of how your challenges and some things you've gone through, successes may be a little different from somebody that is a little bit more established or has had a business for 20 years and kind of a longer journey.
Sure.
So, you know, you went to school, if I'm correct, at Miami University. Is that right?
Red Hawks.
There you go. And what'd you go to school for?
Finance.
Finance.
I was good with math. That's all I knew.
Okay. So how'd you go? You started in finance. However, you've taken a much different approach in your previous ventures and your current venture, correct?
Yeah. So and you might have talked about this in previous podcasts. You mentioned about if college benefited certain people. I feel like college probably wasn't right for me. And I only say that because I think to most people, college is a way of pushing themselves and learning and really finding who they are or who they are. I feel like I did a lot of that in high school. I really pushed myself, learned who I was, took chances, took risks. And so when I went to college, actually going to Miami, Ohio, I don't think was the best fit for me. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was very typical college, drinking, partying, chasing girls. And for me, I'm always a person that learns by doing. And so if I had to do it all over again, I'd put myself in a situation where it was much more in cities, internships, and trying things. And so I guess the point of that is from college, since that point, I've always tried to put myself in businesses or companies where I'm pushing myself to learn, right? And if there's ever a situation where it's stagnant, it's time to move on and try the next thing.
Okay, great. So, you know, you kind of discovered this self. So college, in a turn for you, was a learning lesson because it kind of showed you what you wanted versus what you don't want, which is just as important.
Right.
Okay, so you go to Miami University for finance. You end up getting out. So out of college, you go and you start your first job. I believe it's for a startup content aggregator. Is that correct?
Correct. So I didn't know what finance majors are supposed to do, which sounds ridiculous now that I live in New York. I didn't understand you're supposed to become an investment banker or Wall Street, all this and that, or real estate. So when I graduated college, my biggest goal was how do I move back to D.C. where I'm from and be able to hang out with the friends I grew up with. And so at that time, a cousin of mine was starting a sports website. So it was actually called Sports Ultra, I believe. And then it became Publish This. And so to me, this was my quickest, okay, I can start working for you on the sports website, and that'll lead me to a situation where I can move back home and be with my friends. So my first job, I think work outfit, was wearing pajamas. So coming to my room, putting on pajamas, and working on sports websites on my couch.
Nice. Yeah. So what was your role with this company specifically?
It was really content aggregation, so creating links and RSS feeds from across the board. So if something broke, like you wanted daily updates on Kobe Bryant, I needed to collect RSS feeds from every publisher, blog, article that would ever write a story about the Lakers or Kobe Bryant and be able to aggregate that into one spot.
And now, what year was this?
2007.
Okay, so at that time, you were kind of a little bit ahead of the curve, would you say?
Yeah, it just was starting the whole aggregating content. There was a couple others out there who were doing it, but now it's everything. But at that time, it was new.
Okay, and at that company, what were some of the challenges that you faced early on? I mean, obviously, working out of pajamas, you're comfortable, but that doesn't take away the stresses or challenges you faced.
It was not stressful.
Okay.
It was the opposite, where it was so repetitive that I took way too much advantage of it. So because I wasn't learning anything in that job, I actually ended up substitute teaching, waiting tables, day trading. Basically, I tried anything I could because I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And I thought substitute teaching was great because I was a little bit of a nightmare in middle school and elementary school. And so this was me kind of putting on the shoes to see what it's like. And now I'm like, teachers, it's incredible what they do. Mothers, police officers, like it's all that in one.
Amazing. So now you're at this company, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you then start trying a million different things. What's kind of the next step? What do you end up into next? What's the next job or life change here at this point?
So the biggest thing that happened was my brother's friend, a guy named Ryan, was brought in to run this company called Summit Series. And I heard about them doing a ski trip to Aspen, I believe. And so to me, I heard ski trip. And so I immediately started calling him and emailing him, being like, I don't know what this is. I don't get it at all. But just take me on this trip. I want to go snowboarding for free. And so I think 5 or 6 emails later, he's like, no, you can't come on this. But come into the office and check out this other thing we're doing called BizNow. So I was living in Bethesda at the time. I hopped on the metro, got off in DuPont Circle. It's about 6 stops. I walk into this office, and it's 4 other 22, 23-year-old guys, oh, and girls, but wearing, like, suit and ties, drinking Starbucks, and it just was this fresh, like, I feel like I stepped into a different world. I was like, how am I missing all this? These are grown-ups. These are people doing real things, right, and pushing themselves, and so I think I spent an hour there, and I immediately was like, I'm going to start coming here every single day. I don't care about money, any of that stuff. I'm just going to start coming here. And so that's what I did for the first 2 to 3 months. I just interned there and showed up every single day at any point I could.
Okay, and for those who may not know, what is BizNow?
Right, so BizNow was a startup media company in D.C. It was actually started by a guy named Mark BizNow. So his last name was BizNow, which kind of sounds like Business Now, and his whole joke was always, oh, if my last name was Plumber, I'd be in a whole other line of work, right? So it was fate for him to start this company. And his big idea was he was on, I guess, the revolution or cusp of, instead of being print, going digital, right? And also being very niche specific. So instead of having this huge newspaper, he wanted to be like daily candy for the business community. So a daily email for lawyers, for real estate, for tech, for association, and one for social. It just happened that commercial real estate ended up being the most popular. So almost think of it like a digital email for commercial real estate mixed with People magazine. So very picture-oriented, a little snarky, sarcastic, and fun.
Got it. Now, what year was this that you went over to BizNow?
That was 2009.
Okay, so a couple years. The first. Got it.
So I spent 2 years in pajamas.
Okay, and that's teaching a solid run. Waiting tables. That's a solid run.
Yeah.
Your pajama game must have been off the charts.
It's pretty great.
Amazing. So now you go to biz now, you're hanging around for
So
two,
now I'm buying
months,
suits,
right?
And suits and ties.
Now you're getting official.
Yeah.
Okay, you're adulting at this point.
Yeah, I'm getting closer, right. So the biggest thing I'm learning is, yes, how to be an adult, right? How to buy a suit and tie. What networking actually is in building relationships. I mean, I think that was one of the biggest takeaways is nobody teaches you the power of relationships. I mean, I grew up in Bethesda. We're next to 10 different schools, but all of us grew up only wanting to hang out with the kids in our high school. It makes no sense. Yeah. And then out of college, your whole future is who do you know and what relationships you have, right? So that completely flips in my mind, like understanding the importance of relationships. BizNow, when I was there, started producing events. And so we were out there as young kids running around suit and ties and networking events, throwing around business cards. And so we just started to understand the game more.
All right, so now for BizNow, what was kind of your role in that company?
So initially I started off as...
Because I know you had a couple roles that have evolved over time here.
Yeah, so initially I started off in sales in D.C. And actually worked under one of the original guys. We were splitting accounts. He was kind of grooming me.
Okay.
But we ended up having some partnership issues, and so we split off. And at the time, I was like, this guy's crazy. Like, what is he thinking? He has a soldier, like, underneath him that's doing all this work and creating business for him. But he didn't see it. And so I remember going to bed and being really frustrated about it and just having this thought in my mind. At the same time we started expanding, we just launched Chicago and Dallas are some of our first cities. And I just had this immediate thought in my mind that whatever it cost, I wanted to book myself flights to go to those cities and be a part of the expansion. So I called up the CEO the next day. I was like, I don't care. I'll pay for the flights myself. I want to go to all these opening events we're doing. And so I took that chance was really to be like, I'm just going to learn. I'm going to put myself in a situation and always be there for whatever's next in this company. And so by doing that, I ended up taking over sales roles in all these new markets. So after those like first two markets we launched, every other market we launched, I would end up running point and almost being like the first boots in the ground and building our initial brand of our initial partners for those cities. And so at BizNow, we ended up launching about 26 cities. And so I was popping into cities all over the country, whether it was Atlanta, Boston in the winter, Dallas in the summer, LA, San Francisco. I actually think it was really funny how I always timed the cities extremely wrong. Like, I spent multiple weeks in Boston in the winter. And again, like, we were so scrappy, right? We're not in hotels. I'm sleeping on my, like, high school friend's inflatable mattress in Boston that doesn't inflate all the way, right? In his attic. You know? And it's, like, 4:15, and it's dark and cold, and it's freezing. And it's also funny how at that age, also, like, women kind of drive you. And so in Dallas, I had a girl I met who I really liked. And so I was always driven that, okay, I have to set up more meetings in Dallas, more potential business, so that I have an excuse to, like, book a flight and go out to Dallas. So I give a lot of credit to her for really pushing me and help motivate me. Like, I had to come back to those cities.
Shout out to the girl in Dallas.
Yeah,
shout out to the girl in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing that you said is that you took the initiative, right? First, you made the ask and said to your boss at that time, your CEO, I want to do this, right?
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, a lot of people never even do the first step, which is ask the question, right? If you don't ask, you don't receive. How do you think that was extremely, like, pivotal?
I think it's probably been my nature my whole life, which sometimes is good and sometimes is bad, but I have an air of what's the word for it? I just expect I can do things, right? And you have to be careful with that. But when we say, like, I asked him, it wasn't even, I asked him, I just said, I'm doing this, right? And to me, since I said I would pay for it, there's no reason it shouldn't happen, right? And so I almost demanded that, like, this needs to happen. I'm going to do this. But yes, I always think you need to ask at all points. And I think you need to, again, like, continue to push yourself. Don't ever settle, right? And so I could have gone two different paths. I could have stayed in D.C., or I could have taken that chance to, like, explore and try the new thing.
Yeah. Now, at that point, you're really young, right? So you're in early 20s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like a lot of times, and you tell me if you agree or differ on this, a lot of young people say, I can't ask yet, or I can't do this, or I can't expect this because I haven't done my time, or I haven't worked my way up, right? Versus just saying, let me just go for it. The worst they're going to say is no.
Maybe. It's funny. I feel like a lot of young kids I meet, they're always going for it. They're always asking. So to me, I was almost behind. I feel like I see all these young kids today, and it's incredible what they're already doing. But yes, in general,
yeah.
I think as a person, you always can make that ask.
But when they're asking, and here's the big thing with me, and this is something like our company, like I preach big time at Premier, right, is execution is everything. So a lot of people say they want to do something, right? Or they're like, yeah, I'm in, let me do it. But it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to follow through and actually execute it. It sounds like you executed. You took the initiative to buy the ticket. You took the initiative to go to these cities. You took the initiative to do whatever it took to succeed.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm bad at. I'm pretty good at execution. So if I say something, I can visualize it and I can do it.
I mean, that's, we'll do it. Yeah. That's a pretty strong skill set.
But I have a lot of other weaknesses, so.
All right, we all do. Yeah. So now you go through, right, you build out 20-plus markets.
Yeah.
You're growing pretty quickly, it sounds like, at this point as a company. What's kind of next for you?
So I feel like we hit every city we possibly could. And we could have gone international, which they're doing now. But at that point, we were very focused on the States. And so when I got to that point, I think we were doing 250 local events a year, right? Wow. So picture 7 a.m. to 9:30, suit and ties, speakers on panels, schmoozing over, I don't know, bagels and lox and all that type of stuff. And so we kind of felt like we hit the maximum of what we could do in this arena. And so our next thought and big takeaway was, what if we kind of flip this whole networking on its head? And instead of doing these speakers and panels and selling tickets to the general audience, let's curate a very tight-knit community of the top real estate owners and investors in the country. So similar to the Herb Allen Street, we wanted to take like the cream of the crop and bring them somewhere where they could have conversations and network. But instead of being up on stages with speakers and press, putting them in intimate settings where they could be in flip-flops and khaki shorts. And so we started doing these events in Miami, in Vegas, and all over the country, really high-end and intimate.
Nice. So this starts going. You're now not only getting experience from the sales side, you're engaging in activations and events as well. So you're kind of really rounding out pretty well here.
Yeah, so same thing again, where I wasn't initially... So I was very initially supportive of this launch, right? So I'm pushing the CEO, I'm at his apartment, we're talking through it, all this stuff's happening. But at this point, I'm heading up national sales or whatever it's called. I'm our top salesperson in terms of revenue at that point. So it's not the easiest thing to figure out, how do I get more involved with this other new venture,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, but again, I had this moment where I just know it's right. I know I've tapped out all I could learn from doing what I was doing in this position. And this was the new thing, right? This was exciting, creative, innovative. And so I spent 2 to 3 months just figuring out how to give up accounts or work things differently, and eventually took myself from the situation where I was actually making a ton of money and basically starting all new in the company. And so we almost built this new company within the bigger company.
Okay, and what was the new company?
It was called Escape.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was the premise built off of these event activations around the country.
Right. These curated, invite-only type experiences, yeah. Okay.
So how long did you do that for?
We did that for 2 years.
Okay.
2 years, yeah.
So during those 2 years, obviously, this is a new idea. You were making a lot of transition, a lot of changes.
Yeah.
What, did you have any hiccups? Did you have any, you know, pain points during this time?
Everything was pain. Where do I start with this? So... there was some great highs and great lows. We did some incredible events. We also, I remember doing an event in Vegas where we didn't hit our numbers, right? And I just couldn't do anything about it. You know, every single person every single person's hand invited, right? Invite only. And just you hit a certain point where people are like, I'm at weddings, I'm doing this and doing that. We just couldn't hit our numbers. And so it puts a ton of stress on you and your business when you're not hitting your goals. And at the same time, I'm running a team of 5 or 6 people at that point. And so you just feel like you have the weight of the world when you're kind of failing at something. And I feel like I've been humbled a ton through these experiences along the way, because I've seen what sometimes you think in your head you're going to be able to accomplish, you can't always.
Yeah.
And you can always learn from it, but it's definitely something that was new to me, was going through some of these failures.
How important do you think the failures were, you know, versus the wins? Were the failures just as important and influential? Or in your case, did you feel like the failures set you back? Did they motivate you? Like, how did you view those?
So I'm big about learning by doing myself or doing it on my own. So I don't think I needed the failures. I know I hear all the time, like, sometimes failures are great. I don't need the failures. You can either have failure, success, or the middle. I think no matter what, I learned from it. So if I could do it again, I definitely would not pick failing on certain things.
Okay.
But again, I learned a lot, and I learned some of what I liked and didn't like in the business. And so there's probably a lot you can talk about, like, how do you find happiness with work? And I think it's a very difficult thing, but I feel like the more you push yourself in certain ways, the more you get closer to finding happiness. So there's certain things from these experiences that I really valued and, like, built within myself and saw my strengths. And so I've tried to take those with me onto the next stages and steps.
Okay. So based on some of those experiences and life lessons, right, is there, like, a motto that you've adopted or, like, a thought process to where you're like, this is how I live my life by?
Unfortunately, it's I have to learn from my own mistakes.
Okay.
But I think that's terrible and awful.
Why? Because it doesn't sound as sexy and as glamorous as something you read. And
no, more things. Because
it could be made into a meme still. You know that. Yeah. Add a little graphic and you're looking good.
I think there's definitely times where really smart people in our life, in my lives, give me great advice, and it just doesn't resonate with me. I have to go try it on my own before it sinks in and I can soak it up. So if I could, I'd like to be a little more observant of some of these prudent advice I get.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're now doing this, you have some ups and downs, some wins and losses. Kind of how long does this last before, you know, you make your next move, or like you said, you hit that point where you know you've exhausted all your resources and it's time to move on?
So, right, exactly. So I got to the same point where we started doing these really high-end retreats for 2 years, and I got to the same point where I realized our community was mostly 45 to 60 year old, like, white, bald real estate men. And at the end of the day, we were building community, but they didn't really need us for new investors, friends, or partners, right? And so I'm waking up every day building this community and trying to connect people, but they didn't really need us that much. And so our big thought was, why not try to take these same concepts of building community and relationships, but do it for our generation, do it for the next generation of business leaders who are out there taking chances, taking risks, looking for investors and partners. And so we really started plotting our next move of creating this kind of very similar, like, BizNow-ish experience, like, new take on networking, but doing it for the entrepreneurial minded.
Okay. And I'm guessing this is the point that you decided time to start what is now known as Breakout.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So how did that transpire, right? Like, how did you leave from your role at BizNow and say, I have this idea? I mean, obviously, based on what you saw at the previous one, right, with the older demographic, wasn't really connecting for you, you weren't giving people opportunities, and you really wanted to feed people in that regard. What made you say, this is my idea, this is how I'm going to do it, let me get started?
Yeah, I think being a little selfish again, and right, my whole kind of motto of, like, pushing yourself to learn, I felt like the audience we had at BizNow, I wasn't excited. Like, I didn't want to go out and meet with people anymore or grab beers and ask them what they were doing, right? It was just one industry. And so we thought, how do we start a business where we can spend all day meeting new people, asking questions, and learning about what they do? And so we almost, like, reverse thought through the process of what Breakout could be and thought, how do we create a job where we spend all day meeting interesting people and getting to ask questions? And so that's where Breakout came about, was creating this community for entrepreneurs, right? Events, experiences, content, all this that we've built. But the ethos behind it was it's all about allowing us to meet these individuals. And so myself and a partner from BizNow ended up leaving together to start this.
Got it. Okay. So this was in 2014?
2014, yeah. April 2014.
Okay. So obviously, I wouldn't call this, in your case versus some others, like a leap of faith. This was just a decision you were going to do no matter what anybody told you, pretty much.
Yep.
Okay. So and this I think also kind of is important, right? Because people talk about failure, and some entrepreneurs will say, failure taught me the greatest lessons, helped me succeed. I feel like in your case, failure is not even an option the way your mind works. So when you go to do something, there's really no risk associated with it in your mind. It's either it is or it isn't.
I agree with that. I think we're also in a lucky situation where failures don't hit me as hard as it hits certain people, right? And I think this is a big point that I run into with a lot of cities we go to for breakout, is if I hit rock bottom, that's going back and asking my parents if I can crash in their basement or crash at a friend. When you don't have that net beneath you, it makes things so much more difficult.
But at the same time, when you don't have that net, you have every reason. You have to succeed now at this point.
You have to. Yeah.
So there's no option for failure now.
I agree. It's an incredible motivator.
So in 2014, you start Breakout, right?
Yeah.
You have the initial thought. Can you kind of give people a little insight to what Breakout is, what it's about, kind of that DNA and kind of the thought process? I know you touched on it, you know, kind of harnessing a younger demographic, but can you give a little more context to it?
Yeah, so the beginning thought process for Breakout was just to create a community of the next generation of business leaders, but from all different industries, and create a platform where we could come together to share ideas, strategy, general business best practices, and just be there to support each other, right, in whatever endeavors we were doing. And so we started doing this really informally in New York City, real casual get-togethers. Oh, and by the way, I moved to New York 2 years ago, kind of the same thought process that at some point everyone that's young should go to New York for 2 years.
So did you start Breakout before you moved to New York or when?
After, when
so
I was in
Breakout. So you got to New York and then said, I'm going to start Breakout.
Yeah, we were in New York. I was in New York for about 6 months.
Okay.
And I didn't know anyone in New York outside of real estate people. Not one person.
So you just went because New York is the place to be.
Yeah.
Make it.
All right. Had to.
Makes sense.
So we started, my partner, he knew more than me since I knew no one. So he had about 20 friends to start. So we started doing some really informal, casual get-togethers. And again, we didn't start Breakout with this big why. We're going to change the world, this and that. It was really casual. Let's bring these great people together. But since our background was in these, you know, big events and experiences, we thought if we really want to try doing Breakout, let's break out and let's try something. And the idea for Breakout came about because we wanted to bring all these people together from different worlds. And sometimes you need to take people out of their typical routines and comfort zones and put them in a situation where they can start fresh. So we did either the smartest thing we could have done or dumbest thing we could have done, but we decided to charter an airplane and try to fly 100 entrepreneurs from New York to South Beach, right? And do this whole 2-day experience, right? And so we ended up doing that. And it was speakers on the airplane, yoga on the beach, wine tasting, art tours, private meetings with Mayor, really like the sleepaway camp type experience. But I always think it's really funny because I have no idea if people completely understood what we were trying to do with Breakout or if they're just like, it's freezing cold in New York right now and you guys have an airplane to Miami, like I'm in.
At this point, though, did you even know what you were doing? Like, did you even have kind of like that vision or just kind of like you knew, I'm trying to do something and this is just kind of the start of it?
We for sure knew.
Okay.
There is some special power about when you bring all these people together and create an environment where people can be vulnerable and share that brings people together. So our biggest thing was do whatever we need to do to get people on that airplane. And once they're on it, they'll be locked for life. We just had to get people on that airplane. And
how hard was it to get people on the airplane?
Impossible. It was freaking impossible.
You had to fill 100 people.
We had to fill 100 people. We totally priced the event wrong. I mean, we just came from the real estate world where people are dropping $5,000, $6,000 for tickets at a whim. And now we're trying to bring entrepreneurs together, right? Entrepreneurs are scrappy. They're not throwing down $3,000, $4,000. So it was a huge lesson. We took 1,000 meetings. Every single person we invited was through a referral and recommendation. So we sat down, had coffee with every single person. I don't drink coffee, so it was a lot of water meetings. And I distinctly remember 2014, It's definitely like one of the coldest winters of my life. And I remember like in between meetings, we'd be walking to a meeting and would have to like sprint into a Starbucks to like warm up before going another two blocks. It was just so freaking cold. And a lot of cities are cold, but New York is such a walking city that you're not in a car, you're not pulling into a parking lot. We're literally like walking through Brooklyn, walking through Manhattan, and you're just freezing your freaking ass off. But I don't know. We somehow pulled it off. It wasn't just me and Mike on the airplane.
So after, so you do the Miami trip, right? How did the Miami trip go? Was it a success? Did you start to see something special kind of, you know, come out of this?
Miami was incredible. And I learned so many things. We did the first breakout session where we put this bigger group, we broke them up into teams and created an experience and activity where they used photos to share about themselves. And I was so shocked to see how open people are to sharing, right, and being vulnerable, right? There was tears, there were hugs. And by the time the event ended, right, we had new friendships, we had people who invested in each other, we had people who were dating each other, we had new companies starting. And so it was the first time I really saw the power that this community could be.
Nice. So, you know, and I'll touch on that a little bit more, especially from the kind of like the emotional connection side, because I was fortunate enough to attend the most recent one here in Atlanta back in June, and it was completely different from what I could have ever anticipated. It was pretty unbelievable, I gotta say, and it's one of those things that I'll expand on this more as we talk further, but I highly recommend for anyone that's not familiar with you to do their research, because it really is a life-changing situation. It's something you can't read or see, but you have to actually experience to get it.
Yeah.
And I really didn't get it until I was there, and then it kind of like a light bulb goes off, and I'm like, makes it all the sense in the world now.
And it's hard to get an invite, but if you know Justin, then you might get an invite.
Coupon codes, discount codes, let's go. Hashtags. All right, so Miami, you see this now, you come back, tremendous results, right? Yeah. Where do you go from Miami now? What's the next thing?
So I talked a little bit about like what how we knew it was a successful event, but the biggest thing I was blown away by was just like the people. I was so amazed and impressed by who these people are. They were so just curious and like hungry and thirsty for knowledge and willing to help, right? And so we had this immediate thought that we shouldn't be in resort type settings. We should continue to do these events and grow this community, but we should take this group to cities where we can learn. So we started launching events in cities like New Orleans, Detroit, Baltimore, with the idea that we could go there and actually dive in and learn about the city's culture. And above that, especially when we went to Detroit, actually meet with local leaders, entrepreneurs, and artists who are innovating and creating and actually having a positive impact in the city. So I think I've probably told you this story a bit, but when we first flew to Detroit, and again, like we started off in South Beach with a chartered airplane, and now our third event, we're going to Detroit. And Michael and I flying to Detroit in like the craziest blizzard, right? You can't see anything in snow. We're driving in there, but then you start seeing the warehouses and the buildings and the graffiti, and you just start becoming blown away by, where is this? This isn't our country. But with Detroit, we just started feeling the energy and the pride and the opportunity, right? People came together to collaborate and fight for their city and try to change. And we started meeting people who were using technology to deal with the issue of 50,000 abandoned homes or using technology to deal with people not being able to pay for their water bills, right? And so it was these huge light bulb moments for us that these were the stories that were amazing to hear, and especially compared to maybe some of our friends in New York, LA, and San Francisco who are building the next, you know, Uber for food delivery or something like that. We're like, these are real entrepreneur stories. And so to us, that was a big light bulb moment for us and helped our direction of this kind of purposeful, content-driven event.
So, you know, Detroit's really eye-opening, it sounds like, right? Really game-changer for you. Is there a city, you know, you mentioned a bunch of places that you guys have gone to now over the past 3 years, right? Has there been a city, or is Detroit the one that's kind of been like the one that kind of like really resonates with you?
Completely Detroit, because I think it kind of...
Because let's not forget, you did Atlanta. Atlanta was pretty unbelievable, but in all fairness, though, so Detroit was kind of that one that still kind of holds the truest to you.
Completely. And I mean, that's one of the things that I have going on is every time we do an event, I actually fall in love with the city. So for Atlanta, I had to make sure, I have to keep coming back here a couple of times post the event to make sure I still have that same attraction. But I think you just get caught up with these cities and the people there, right? And so that's what we've experienced with all these cities.
have you noticed in all the cities you've traveled to, right, for both Breakout and just in general now? Because I'm sure now you go to cities, like, unwork-related and probably ask people questions and kind of are way more in tune with kind of, like, the culture, community, and what's going on. Do you feel like more young people in this day and age are really, like, passionate about their city and looking to make changes and wanting to improve it and, like, investing back into it? And it's not so much about money for them anymore as much as it is about social impact?
I think so. I mean, I think it's been a huge trend, and maybe that has something to do with what I brought up earlier, where it's our generation. It's there's no, like, I can't do this. Everything's I can, and I demand this. And so I think our generation is just much more demanding about what they expect out of their city. And if no one's doing it up to their level of expectations, then I think more people are jumping in and trying to do that. Now, again, I feel like sometimes we put ourselves in a situation where we're around groups of people that act that way. And so sometimes we can get caught up in that bubble and might not see what's happening in different parts. But I think as a whole, our generation, especially now, there's just a lot of attention on people trying to do things but have a good social cause for it with it.
I mean, I think it's a good time for you guys, right? You look at a lot of cities that 5-10 years ago were not popular. Let's say Atlanta, Portland, Detroit, Baltimore. Now these cities are becoming super cool. People want to move there. They're getting creative. They're bringing new jobs and opportunities, right? And people are getting super passionate about representing where they're from. And, you know, I've lived in a lot of places, and I'll say, like, Atlanta, I never thought I would say when I first moved here over 10 years ago, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else right now, because you start to take a pride and a passion for your community, the people, and what the city represents, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely an interesting time for you, because you're seeing great, like Detroit, Chenola, a lot of these companies are coming out of there and building that cool factor, right? Which I think is extremely important. And the people that you're bringing into these conferences or these meetups are, in a way, those folks building these businesses within those communities.
Complete wrapping of their cities.
So real quick, I know we keep talking about breakers, right? What is a breaker? How would you define somebody that attends Breakout or is a member?
That's a great question. I think it's very hard to completely describe, but what we were looking for was a certain type of attitude and entrepreneurial spirit, right? And so I think it's hard to define exactly what that means, because a lot of organizations are, we want founders of this and that. To us, that wasn't what we wanted, right? I mean, I just talked about my story at BizNow. I wasn't the founder, but I treated and ran that company like it was mine, right? And so that's who we were looking for, is anybody who had that type of, like, can-do attitude, wants to ask questions, wants to learn, right? And so because we didn't have a clear definition of it, and probably still don't, we meet with every single person, and everyone comes through a referral and recommendation. And so there's no application box. There's no send us a resume, you do this and that. It's we get to know the person, and if that person has the right attitude, then they're going to want to be in this group and work for them.
You know, so you just said something that resonated with me for one reason. It's something that I kind of grew up in, my mentality was, and from speaking with lots of entrepreneurs and very successful people, and in fact, the person that I just spoke with prior to this interview for you said the same thing, is his company, when he was starting off, he treated it like it was his. He didn't own it. It wasn't his company, but he treated it like his. A, it led to his success, but B, more importantly, people recognize that, especially CEOs. They notice that when somebody's treating it like it's their own.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that is extremely important, whether any position you are in a company, whether the mailroom all the way up, that you need to work like you own that company?
I think so, but honestly, I don't know how much is, like, is some of that just inborn? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish I didn't do that much at the last company. I look back and I was like, I was crazy. Why did I put that much stress on myself? Like, it wasn't my company. Like, take some more vacation days, do all this. But I think just, I don't know if you're born with it or what, but there's certain people, like, you have high expectations from yourself. And I think that's just the way it is, right? Like, you expect a lot out of yourself.
So some of the people that are members, right, or attend Breakout events and conferences, there's some pretty interesting, successful, eclectic individuals, right?
Tons.
I mean, I was personally blown away by, like, how amazing some of these people were. Is there one person or a couple in particular that you met that really were, like, motivated you or that inspired you on a whole nother level, or something that you didn't even expect from that individual?
I'd say two probably come to mind. I mean, Chris Wilson in Baltimore was one of our most special attendees and just friends now, of course. When we were going to Baltimore, we're both the founder and I, both Maryland boys, we were going to Baltimore. We wanted to go there post the riots. Because what we thought is, we like to break perception sometimes. And what we thought is that the only thing people know about Baltimore is what they've seen on the show The Wire or what they've seen on the riots on TV. And so we thought, let's go to Baltimore and actually show them what makes this city special, right? Local leaders, artists, and creatives. And so one of the first people we met in Baltimore was this guy named Chris Wilson. We'd read a small article about him spending time in prison and now building a business. But we ended up meeting with him, walked a block from his, I think he was doing some volunteer work at a church. We walked a block with him and just sat on the curb and sat there for 2 hours hearing his story, right? I'd never done something like that. 2 hours, we're sitting in a curb just being like, this is the most incredible thing we've ever heard, right? And so it stands out to me because we left that moment being like, this guy is a freaking star. And I don't even know if he knows it yet, but he's a star. And so it was very weird to come out. Like, we were so emotionally moved throughout that talk, but to come out being like, this guy is a star, right? Like, in our heads, we knew that this guy was an inspiring figure that everyone needed to hear from, right? So he ended up being a speaker at our event. He's come to all of our events since. And the biggest thing I take away from it is he had a drive and was going to get where he was going no matter what. But he always says, because of our group, we sped up his maybe path by 5 years, right? So now he has a book deal. He has a potential movie. Bernie Sanders did a video about him. And his biggest thing was that he spent 17 years in prison for taking someone's life, right? And went through the steps of getting out. This unbelievable story about what he had to go through to like appeal it and what he taught himself in prison. But since getting out, he's had a bucket list of things that he needed to do. And the judge was like, I'll let you out, but you need to come back every year and show me like what's been checked off your bucket list, wow, right? And he's a machine. But now he's starting multiple businesses and organizations where he helps formerly incarcerated individuals back into the workforce, right? But hearing his story of what happened to him going into prison, what he experienced as a kid with PTSD from watching his mother get beaten, watching his brothers being killed like in front of him, it shows you that people out there can overcome such great adversity to succeed, right? And I think these are the stories that need to be more present and that I myself need to learn from and be inspired by, but plus the rest of the country. And so he stands out to me because it just became more about these events as a way to amplify the voice of those type of leaders, right? These underdogs, right? And so we've become very passionate about finding these underdogs in these markets and giving them a platform, whether it's our group of attendees to support them or putting them on articles or videos or on the biggest stages we can imagine. But to us, that's how we can have the biggest impact.
Nice. So obviously that's a pretty impactful story,
yeah,
right? And obviously kind of speaks in the vein of the type of people that inspire you and kind of inspire what Breakout is all about. What's maybe one other person that you said you had two that you would say has kind of also been like a wow factor?
Well, I was thinking Amy Carroll in Detroit. She creates something called Detroit Soup, which was, it's almost like what's it called? Shark Tank, but for community,
yeah,
like completely grassroots community where they used to make a big bucket of soup. People would come in, all chip in $5, and some three people in the organization would talk about their business idea, and that business idea would get funded with $1,000 and it'd be off. One of the winners for Amy Carroll's Detroit Soup ended up being Veronica Scott. She started Empowerment Plan, which turned sleeping bags into jackets or jackets into sleeping bags, and homeless women build, yeah, them. Madonna invested like $2 million in it, right? So it's this really grassroots movement, but I love it because it's so grassroots. It's so for the neighborhood, right? Anybody can come in, chip in their $5 and be a part of this general supportive community. So she opened up Detroit for us. Chris opened up Baltimore for us. And I have a really fond memory of a guy named Colin O'Brady who did a talk for us in Portland. He actually, he's a little different than the others, but also incredibly inspiring story where he was on a vacation in Thailand and ended up doing one of those like walk through the fire pits and ended up severely burning his leg. Oh no, he was jump roping. He said he was jump roping. He was doing the jump rope with like the fire or something, and the fire latched onto his legs. And he ended up in a hospital for 3 months with like the worst burns on his legs. His parents flew out. He was never supposed to be able to walk again, right? And so from that moment he was told you can never walk again, it was the exact opposite for him. He's like, I'm going to do everything I can to not only walk, but run, win marathons, climb mountains. And so he ended up winning all types of, I think the first thing he did was entered into the Chicago Marathon and then won it. I mean, he looks like me, right? 5'11", white kid. But he recently ended up breaking the world record for climbing the 7 tallest mountains, like one on each different continent. And I think he did it in some amount of days, whatever, 183. I'm butchering this, and he's not going to be happy about me butchering the stats. but what was the funniest thing to me is that, again, it's breaking perceptions. He was at the ESPYs last year and telling us about how, like, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade would walk up to him and be like, dude, who are you? What are you doing here? Like, you look at him, you would never expect that.
Yeah.
And so I love breaking down perceptions of people in cities and surprising people, right? I hate, and I do this too. Everyone's used to, like, when you judge someone, right? And so we want to show all these examples of people who you'd stereotype or perceive a certain way and actually who they are.
Yeah. I mean, I had the pleasure of meeting Colin at the Atlanta one, right? And what I'll say, and this is what I found special about him, and what also about the other two people that you just mentioned, is that not only these people do epic stuff, right? But more importantly, at the end of the day, they're just good human beings.
Yeah.
Like, they truly are good, humble people. And for him, like, that's somebody that I'll probably build a friendship with over the years. And I really connected with, and I feel like every breakout, you know, you get 2, 3, 4, 5 people maybe that you kind of walk away with. He was definitely one of the ones for me. But amazing story. But like I said, besides the unbelievable accomplishments, which are just, if people don't know, definitely look him up. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just a great guy overall, man.
I totally agree, right? It's relationships first.
100%.
And that's like the craziest thing about the whole strategy is it actually doesn't matter what you're doing right now. It's just build a relationship, right? And once you have that friendship, you'll be there for each other no matter what happens in the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and so on.
Yeah, and that's one thing. You know, one thing I always try to talk about on culturation, right, is tying into not only some of my own personal principles, but also the company, you know, and kind of what we kind of have. I have 7 values for our company, right? And they're extremely important for me. And one is people over profit. And I feel like that's something that's big with Breakout, right? It's, you don't go into these things looking to close deals. You're not investing into trying to get something out of somebody from a financial or monetary standpoint. You're investing into them as a person. Like, that's what I found very fascinating. You have a lot of successful people in the room, but not a lot of people ever even tell you, this is what I do, or here's my business cards. It's, who are you as a person? Tell me about you.
Yeah.
And like you said, it kind of, if it translates into business, it's natural, it's organic. And that's something I found super fascinating versus some of the other conferences in the past that I've attended.
Yeah, it's the conference unconference, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I don't even want to use the word conference because it's not a conference. It's really more of a weekend per se, let's say, like a summer camp like you kind of mentioned earlier. You know, the Atlanta conference, let's touch on that real quick because that's the most recent one you had here. And I was, like I said, I was able to attend. Amazing to see you had some great people out there. If you want to kind of give people, just so they could understand, you know, the context of who you bring to the table, what experiences are created, so they kind of understand when you go to the next city, what they can expect, or kind of an overview of what Breakout is.
Yeah, so it's very interesting how we do our events. So the idea is when we come into a city, we want to shine a light on every one thing that's happening in the city that's special, right? And then share it with our attendees, but also media, press, photographers, videographers that come in. And so I have to know every single thing that's going on in a city. I almost feel like one of those police detectives where I have all these pins on the board and then I'm putting strings through it and like crisscrossing it because I have to learn all these things, but then figure out how to fit it into this 3-day experience. So for Atlanta, what we try to think about is you have hundreds of entrepreneurs flying in from the country to experience this. We have to create an environment which makes people very comfortable to meet each other, right? We have people who have formerly been incarcerated. We have artists, tech leaders, nonprofit. We have to put them in situations where they can really let their guard down and be fresh. And so what you experienced attending the event is how it's kind of crafted, right? And so the experience in the home base in this situation, we took over the W Hotel instead of typical conference rooms and panels, we turned it into barber shops and yoga studios and food pop-ups and pajama rooms. So the idea that we wanted to create this authentic, intimate environment where you could run around in your pajamas, right? Maybe it always comes back to pajamas for me.
Yeah, I feel like there's a business there for you in the pajama market. Maybe a onesie?
Maybe that. So it's creating that intimate feeling of home, right, where everyone can be comfortable, and then taking them out into the streets, right, and really giving them this immersive experience on what's happening in the city and who's who. And so we did experiences like hip-hop Shabbat dinners, drum lines on the Beltline, concerts, bike rides with Ryan Gravel, workshops with Center for Civic Innovation, with social entrepreneurs. We did stuff with music managers like Molly Hunter and LVRN. We did a soccer tournament that Justin was a part of with Soccer in the Streets. And so everything we think about is, how do we tell a story of some of these amazing leaders, but also create an experience you can feel it, see it, touch it, and taste it. And so the soccer is a great example of this innovative development where they created a field on top of, do you call it a subway station here or MARTA station?
It's a MARTA station, yeah, pretty much.
Every city's different. Yeah. So on top of a MARTA station, right? And like, not revitalize, but like flip this kind of physical public asset that's underutilized into this fun, playful social environment. And so I just love that thought process. And so for us, when we bring our group to experience this, we create this memory by hearing the story, allowing people to play. But then behind the scenes, once people build this relationship, then there's people in the group making intros or advice or capital because they want to help build this initiative, right? And then they also want to take it back to their city. So they're going back to Portland, Baltimore, and Detroit and be like, how can we launch this here? Or how can we take what we learned here back to those cities? And so we try to really focus on kind of the next generation of business leaders, but at the same time have also experienced individuals from the city share their knowledge with us. So I would say we had some unbelievably special talks from Police Commissioner Erica Shields, Ron Clark from Ron Clark Academy. It was freaking amazing. I'm in his school's Harry Potter land. Ambassador Young, unbelievable. Mayor Kasim Reed had one of our favorite quotes of all time, which was, take your city, right? And that's completely what we stand for, is any person, like one person can make the difference. So get out there and go take your city.
No, I mean, it was an awesome week. And like I said, you know, living in Atlanta, having business in Atlanta, you know, pretty much Atlanta changing my life in many ways, getting married in Atlanta. I couldn't have been happier for the way the city represented during those few days, for everybody traveling from around the country to see what it's about and how many people now have a completely different understanding or thought about what Atlanta's about.
Yeah.
Right? Which for me at the end of the day is, the older I get, the more I get invested into the community, the more I want to kind of show it off. And I thought the activations that you guys put together and the people that you had speak, who are really true leaders in the city, were able to give probably the most realistic kind of view of what Atlanta's about. And people seem to really take well to it.
Yeah, I mean, by far, this is our 9th event. I think by far this was my most diverse group of individuals. And so to me, I guess there's like two ways I see if the event is successful. Like one, I feel a lot of pressure to make sure that local Atlanta leaders like yourself are happy with what we did, right? And feel that we represented the city well. But a lot of times, all these crazy experiences and content we do, at some point, it's just seeing the people connect with each other from these different worlds. And like that friendship that's seeded, sometimes to me, that's the most like important special part of it. And so I saw a ton of that in Atlanta, which really just made me feel proud.
That's awesome, man. So another piece of the breakout kind of equation here is the foundation. Can you talk a little bit on the foundation and, you know, some of the grants, the grantees, kind of how it all works?
Yeah, so as we were talking about Chris Wilson, our passions become really about like finding these underdogs and leaders. And so everything we think about is, how do we help empower them, right? Because I feel like the better someone like Chris Wilson does in life, the more people he's going to touch underneath them. So since Breakout hasn't been for everybody yet, we kind of think of this pyramid as try to help those people who can help tons of people underneath them. And so we do that with the community. We started doing that with media. And we started doing that with membership, so local chapters. And so our fourth takeaway was that sometimes people just need a little capital to get that idea started. So we launched a foundation and now do monthly checks anywhere between $1,000 to $5,000 for some of these social entrepreneurs we meet in these cities. But I still think $1,000 to $5,000 it's great. It really can help people get some of those first ideas. We helped one of our favorite artists in Baltimore buy some different camera equipment, right, so she could get her exhibits up and running. But more that we feel is that our community is the power. So if we can just be that first step, put that first investment in, and then use our community, use our content channels to amplify them, then we can bring in stronger forces to really help them go that next step or that next the next hinge on the ladder.
So for anyone that's interested in getting involved with the foundation or helping out, how can they go about doing so?
Just reach out to us.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
And we need help with the foundation. That's probably our biggest thing is we're doing so many things at once that we just need smart people to continue to help us in some of these different ways.
All right. That's a shout out right there. We're looking for people for them. So, you know, we talk about breakout, we talk about foundation, all this, but membership, right? I know we touched a little on it, how it works. If somebody says, I want to become a member, kind of where you're at today in the process and where breakout is, how can they apply to do so?
So right now we have 6 different cities where we have we call them ambassadors, creating monthly programming. So each city has a team. It's somewhat democratized, right? So it's a community that can grow without me, Michael, or the rest of our team, which is what I wanted to have happen. So if people are in one of those cities, we would introduce them to that group, and then they would sit down for coffee and see if they vibe.
What's the 6 cities?
So it's Atlanta starting this week.
Shout out. ATL.
Atlanta, New York, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, Miami. Who am I missing? Is that 6?
I think that's 6.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they can find a contact or reach out where on the website?
Yeah.
And what's the website?
Breakout period today.
Okay, great. So the last piece of Breakout too, and then we'll kind of jump into the next thing here, is the app, right? So speaking of membership, it makes me think of the app that you guys have. Can you kind of give people a little bit of the context of how you've almost, in a sense, create like a LinkedIn within this organization for members? Because I find it pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things about Facebook was at a certain point, Facebook became too noisy, right? And so Facebook started as this intimate environment where you could, I guess, really like ask for things and share, right? And have a tight-knit community. And then it just became this place where you sport out everything possible, right? And so it lost that intimacy and authenticity. So we built, we found partners to help us create this app, right? And so just create a very simple environment where people in the Breakout community have one platform where they can update notes, create asks, invite people. It's just a general simple feed, but it's beautiful to see. I mean, we see constant photos of people meeting each other in LA or San Francisco or New York, going to book launches, nonprofit events, drinks. It's just, again, like it's a growing family. So you imagine what you're texting your family, and this is what the app is meant to be. It's a place for us to continually keep each other updated on what's happening in our lives.
Cool. So what, at the end of the day, right, is the big goal or the vision for Breakout at the end of the day?
So I've been kind of talking about this whole, like, passion we have for underdogs. And so the events we're doing, I think, have been so important to our growth, right, creating this grassroots movement of leaders. So our next phase is using these initial leaders to then impact the bigger country, right? And so instead of just doing events that are just for Breakout, highlighting these leaders in bigger ways. So doing events in cities where we can sell out theaters with hundreds of people or thousands of people. And honestly, for those type of events, it's not so much for the business. It's just we want to give these people the biggest stages possible to get out their voice. Because I'm a big believer that anybody that hears Chris Wilson's story, right, the guy from Baltimore, is going to want to get involved, is going to want to read articles about prison reform. They're going to get woke, right? But so I think it's hard to get Chris Wilson's story, right? We charge tickets to our events, and so I don't want there to be a barrier between people getting to Chris Wilson and hearing his story. And so we want to do events in a bigger way, more of these community impact experiences we're calling Breakout Live. So we're going to launch 10 of those around the country in 10 different cities, and then we are getting into content in a bigger way. So we just got back from LA. We're pitching a TV series, but we eventually see ourselves as a Breakout TV channel and having all types of immersive media, authentic content, but really highlighting kind of Breakout people and like Breakout moments in their lives.
Very cool. So in 3 years,
yeah,
you've done a lot with Breakout. I mean, it's pretty impressive to see where you all started to where you are today and where you're looking to go into the future. So for a young entrepreneur looking to start a business or an organization, let's say such as yours, if you could leave these listeners with one piece of advice today, what would it be?
People always ask me a question. I have to get better with this answer. I should have this at the top of my tongue. Let's see. What entrepreneurs? I mean, there's a lot of things. I think the easiest thing, step one, is surround yourself with other people who are entrepreneurs. I think it's so difficult to just all of a sudden jump out on your own. There's so much we can learn from each other. Get with a breakout group. There's hundreds of entrepreneurial organizations. Get in there and learn. And don't just feel like you have to snap your fingers and try something. Like, you can stay in your 9-to-5, 9-to-6 and do things on the side. But I am a big believer in, if you have that idea, figure out some way to start it. And even if it's a terrible idea, you're going to learn so much from that idea. So I think that's where people always say, learning from your failures or mistakes. It's just because once you get down that road, you learn so many things from that, right? And that helps you with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Well, look, man, I appreciate the time tonight. I know you're busy. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know you traveled all the way from New York.
For
this podcast. So I appreciate that. Much love, much appreciation. So for those, once again, interested in learning more about you or Breakout, how can they get in touch to find more information?
Breakout, period, today.
All right.
No.com, dot today.
Dot today. Look at that.
Yeah, we're innovating.
Already innovating. All right, thank you again, man. I really do appreciate you coming on today and seeing all the amazing things Breakout will be doing in cities around the country. And, keep on going, man. It's pretty impressive.
Likewise. I'm a fan, and I can't wait to listen to the other podcasts. Probably not my podcasts, but the other ones for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be down with this, man. But, honestly, thanks again for the time, and it's amazing what you guys are doing in the communities.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks again.
Okay.
Once again, I'm your host, Justin Epstein, and thank you for listening to Culturation. As always, this show has been powered by Premiere.